Welcome to Torah Tzimecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we are studying Perek Yud Gimel of Melachim Bet. We start this Perek back in Malchut Yisrael. Last we were with them, Yehu was in power, and now his son Yehoahaz is king. Just like with Yehu, he is compared in his compliance to Yeravam ben Nevat, and he turns to Hashem when Aram comes down hard on them and leaves him with a very small army. It is clear in Pasuk Gimel that this attack from Aram was orchestrated by Hashem due to his anger with the kingdom of Yisrael. This is what Elisha was crying about in Perek Chet when he saw what Hazael would be able to accomplish. We know Aram infiltrated into all the northern kingdom, since in last Perek, they came to Gat and very near to Yerushalayim, both cities towards the south. Yehoahaz passes down the kingship to his son Yoash, as we know that back in Perek Yud, Yehu was rewarded with four generations after him. So we have a Yoash for Malchut Yisrael, and we focused last Perek on Yoash for Malchut Yehuda, two separate people. The language used here is Sefer Shoftim language. The people are pressured and oppressed. They are handed over to an enemy. They cry out to Hashem. In this case, the king cries out and Hashem listens. In Pasuk Dalet it says, Ki ra'a et lachatz Yisrael, ki lachatz otam melech Aram. As a result, in Pasuk Hey, Vayitain Hashem li Yisrael Moshia, Vayetzu mitachat yad Aram, Vayeshvu b'nei Yisrael be'ahalehem kitmol shilshom. They are sent a Moshiach, a savior, just like in Shoftim, and then they are saved and experience quiet for a certain amount of time before, as we know, the cycle starts up again. Who is identified as this Moshiach? Many Mefarshim point out that this was not Yehoahaz himself, but his son Yoash, who rose to power 2 years before he died, and will be the one to defeat Aram, as seen in this Perek. Yoash is also described similar to his father in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vaya'as hara be'inei Hashem, as he followed in the ways of Yeravam ben Nevat. This Perek contains the last stories of Elisha, one during his life and one even after he dies. We are told in Pasuk Yud Aleph that Elisha is sick, Ve'elisha chala et chalyo asher yamut bo. He became ill with the illness that he would die from. Rashi, in Sota 47a, notes the triple language used here in the Pasuk indicates that there were actually three sicknesses in total that befell Elisha. Chala, number one, et chalyo, number two, and asher yamut bo is number three in this parak. What were the other two? We're told the first was after the harsh incident with the bears coming out of the forest back in Perek Bet. And the second was when Elisha pushed Gehazi away with two hands and did not leave him the opportunity to do tshuva back in Perek He when he inflicted him with tzara'at. Symbolically, these are being referenced now for Elisha as he is nearing death as moments when he acted out of character, and they possibly weighed on him as his life was coming to a close. Yoash comes to see Elisha in his bed in Pasuk Yudalid and calls him Avi Avi Rechev Yisrael, Chariot of Israel, a similar description to what Elisha calls Eliyahu at the time of his death. It is at this time that Elisha foretells him of a victory against Aram. This story is reminiscent and the opposite of when Ben-Hadad was on his deathbed and called for Elisha. At that time, Hazael was told of the victories he would have against Yisrael. Here, in Psukim Ted Zion and Yud Zion, Elisha places his hands over Yehoash's and encourages the king of Yisrael to shoot arrows eastward, which symbolize his ability to triumph over Aram in the east, and that there will be a turnaround of sorts. He wants to make sure Yoash realizes that the victory that will ensue comes from Hashem. Chet tshua laHashem v'chet tshua ba'aram. Yoash only shoots three times in Pasuk Yurchet. Vayach shalosh pa'amim vaya'amod. And Elisha gets upset at him. Why? because he didn't shoot enough times to be completely able to overpower Aram. In Pasuk Yotet, it says, Vayiktsof alav, Ish ha'elokim, Vayomer lahakot chamesh o shesh pe'amim, az hikita et Aram ad kaleh, ve'ata shalosh pe'amim take et Aram. Elisha rebukes Yoash, for had he shot 5 or 6 arrows, he would have secured a full conquest of Aram. But 3 arrows will only ensure a partial victory. The Ramban believes that Yoash had the chance to determine what Hashem would make happen in the future with Aram. He limited the outcome by only shooting 3 times. Others understand that Yoash was not enthusiastic enough about a victory and did not show enough desperation and motivation. The king does not take enough initiative. The first arrow shot in Pasuk Yud Zayin represents Hashem stepping in and taking the first step towards helping and turning the tables for Yisrael to enjoy a victory. But then it was Yoash's turn to act. And when he does, he stops prematurely, vaya'amod. As mentioned prior to this parak, Elisha's frustration with Yoash here might lie in his own personal feelings of failure in being unable to bring about the total demise of Aram. It is the one thing Elisha was not given the power to do fully by Hashem. The last miracle Elisha performed was actually after his death. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph, another man is thrown into his kever because the ones burying him had to run and fend off Moab. And when this man's body touched Elisha's bones, he was brought back to life. Vayichi vayakam al raglav. What is the significance of Moab being mentioned in Pasuk Chaf as the ones to cause conflict now, immediately following Elisha's death, also mentioned in Pasuk Chaf? It was back in Perek Gimel when Elisha went with Yisrael to war against Moab. So now that he dies, Moab takes the opportunity to start up again, since it appears Malchut Yisrael no longer has the same protection they had before. However, it is clear from this story that Elisha's influence extends even subsequent to his death. In this story, this is the second person Elisha brings back to life, making it so that he is able to do a double miracle of bringing back or of giving life, as he had asked Eliyahu for back in Perek Bet. It is interesting to note that just like Eliyahu had mysterious and miraculous elements surrounding his death, so too does Elisha. Who was this person he revived? According to the Midrash, his name was Shalom ben Tikva, husband of Chulda the Neviah, who we'll meet a little bit later. We are told he was righteous and did daily acts of chesed, sitting at the entrance of the city and handing out water to passers-by. Not only was he revived, vayechi, but he went on to have more children, as learned out from the additional words, vayakam al raglav. The Gemara in Sanhedrin brings a different opinion of the opposite nature. According to the Gemara, the man revived was wicked, and was revived only so that he would not lay permanently next to a tzaddik. He was revived long enough to get up and then die somewhere else. The Gemara comments on the fact that it says in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayechi Vayakam al Raglav, to indicate that all he was able to do was to get up on his feet. He did not survive long enough to go home. This miracle is symbolic of the types that Elisha did, where the recipient of the miracles did not need to earn it. In this case, just throwing the body on top of Elisha's caused the miracle to happen. Part of this is connected to the death of Chazael too, in Pasuk Chaf Dalet. His son Ben-Hadad takes over, and Yisrael will now defeat Aram during his rule. Elisha's life ends after he has announced that Bnei Yisrael's bad streak with Aram is about to change. He was there for the nation through the hard times of famine and foreign invasion. His career adds up to about 60 years in total, according to the Radak. Pasuk Chaf Gimel describes Hashem's mercy for Malchut Yisrael, for the sake of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and he does not wish to destroy them. This is something we haven't seen before in the story surrounding Malchut Yisrael, and it begs the question asked of why is Hashem helping them now? It is not like they have done tshuva here. There is idol worship happening just as before. The psukim seem to indicate some possible reasons. One might be because of how dire their situation was under Aram's control. Another is zechut avot, and also to make sure that Malchut Yisrael is not totally destroyed. This concept comes up in Shirat HaAzinu, at the end of Sefer Devarim, where Hashem describes handing Bnei Yisrael over into the hands of their enemies, but only until a certain point. Chetzai achalebam, Hashem says, my arrows are used up on them, but they still persist. They still survive. Hashem makes sure that they are not totally wiped out and that no nation can think that they overpowered the all-powerful God of the Jews. Hashem therefore has mercy on Yisrael, and Yoash is able to have three victories, as symbolized by the arrows, over Aram, and reclaim cities that Hazael had taken during his father's rule. Elisha, in his last moments, was encouraging Yoash when the window of opportunity was open. Elisha is disheartened that Yoash did not have enough belief in Hashem's ability to help him. We can ask ourselves, as we learn from him, do we take full advantage when Hashem provides us with the window of opportunity? Do we have faith in Hashem's ability, thereby giving our tefillot and good deeds all the energy and passion we can? Do we take advantage of all the opportunities being handed to us for our own benefit? Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther Bat Zvi Yosef.